You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Philosophy can be a challenging subject to learn, whether you're in high school or college. Well, what if there were a way to use pop culture, like Shrek, Seinfeld, maybe South Park, to make philosophy more relatable to students? One Idaho professor is doing just that. Christopher Innes is a PhD and an adjunct professor teaching philosophy at Boise State University. And Ann Snellgrove is one of his students, and they are joining me live in studio. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Gemma. Thanks
for
having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Christopher, talk to me about how you got started using pop culture in your teaching.
Well, it's a long story. I've got two children, and one of the responsibilities of being a parent is to go to the cinema a great deal and watch lots of Pixar
of films. Animated films.
Yeah. Right.
I completely understand.
Exactly. So to keep sane while watching these, I picked out all the philosophical aspects of the cartoons as we were watching. And it seems, well, it turned out that there were lots of intended philosophical content as well as me having in philosophical interpretation. So, for example, with The Incredibles, which we watched.
We just watched yesterday.
The first one or the second one?
The first one.
Okay.
First one, definitely that one. We had seen Mr. Incredible having his rant with his wife about education.
Mm-hmm.
So we see an elite having a critique of the sort of liberal idea about what is education, mediocrity, as he would call it. So there's lots of that philosophical intent within the Pixar films.
So, Anne, as a student, a college student, you come in and you're like, we're going to watch The Incredibles today. And I mean, how does that translate to you when it comes to philosophy?
I think it's really helpful to see examples of these concepts playing out in like real life kind of comedic situations, because when you're reading the text itself that was written, you know, years and years ago, sometimes it can be kind of hard to get what's going on. But when we watch like video clips like The Incredibles and we watch Seinfeld clips in class, you like see a good example of it and go, oh, that's what it means. That's how this plays out. And it's just really helpful for understanding the concept.
And is that part of it, Christopher? Is it because when you're talking about philosophy, I mean, as Anne said, I mean, it's difficult to sit and read Aristotle, but if you can break it down with something that is current in real life.
Exactly. As I started teaching here 20 years ago, and I started just teaching it in a very dry fashion, noticed that students were not understanding. And then by including the popular culture references, it became more accessible, understandable, and, dare we say, a bit of fun.
Well, absolutely.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, because you teach one class. It's called The Philosophy of Seinfeld.
Yes, that's one of the many popular culture classes I teach. Yes.
So you have students that come in now that have never, I mean, Seinfeld was not even on when they were born.
Exactly.
But then that can still translate to things today, correct?
Right, exactly. And with Seinfeld, we deal with many aspects such as political and social nihilism, which many students do relate to, that sense that maybe the values we have today are possibly a bit empty and they need to be reclarified, if they can be reclarified.
Interesting.
Right, so it does relate nicely to students. And Seinfeld was bought by Hulu for $150 million a few years ago.
Oh, just a couple dollars.
Yes, that's it. So they know quite well it's still relevant to teenagers.
Right.
Yes.
Well, and that is, I mean, I think that, I mean, my husband loves Seinfeld. I think so many people do. And even though, yes, things are, like, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have things like that, but it is those relationships between those characters.
Right, yes. Particularly with these characters, we have... an understanding that they do get along with each other, but they only get along with each other in the sense that it means something to them.
Mm.
So we have characters who are these rugged individuals. So in philosophy, we look at this and relate it to a political theory and say, how would the philosopher understand this relationship in view of human nature?
Interesting.
Thereafterwards, do we have an adequate type of government which represents these people?
And so, Anne, what's that like for you? I mean, taking something like a Seinfeld episode or something like that, where, as your professor talks about it, like, okay, we can actually break this down politically. That's kind of a fascinating concept.
It's really fascinating to see how often these concepts are thrown into shows and how much thought goes into them. Excuse me.
Oh, you know what? I started it, so don't worry about it. Take a sip of water.
Yeah. But yeah, just like seeing how relevant it is to today, and then you kind of seeing these examples in media, you can think about it in terms of your own life. And I think it's just so relevant to and so important to understand what mm-hmm. goes on between individuals and to see it play out in like our favorite shows.
I'm speaking with Christopher Innes. He's an adjunct professor using pop culture to teach philosophy at Boise State University, and one of his students, Anne Snellgrove. And Christopher, this has to be something that writers are very aware of when they are doing this. I can't imagine that this just happens organically.
Exactly. And a few of the writers do admit that they are including philosophy. Larry David, who wrote
Seinfeld.
For Seinfeld, mm-hmm. he's quite blunt about it. There's lots of philosophy which he's included. So with Pixar films, they're less likely to say, we have purposely included it. The King of the Hill episodes, the writers say, no, we have not, even though it's pretty obvious they have. They've included mm-hmm. lots of political philosophy references and material which can be interpreted.
Well, it's interesting with Pixar films and children's films in particular, because part of it, too, is there's always a lesson in an animated film.
Yeah.
And you have to keep parents entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, exactly. And as I referred to before, those Pixar films are designed particularly for children, but the adults have got to come along and have something to think about while they're there.
Right.
So they have admitted to that they do put in some ideas to think about, adults can think about while they're there.
Well, I so appreciate the conversation with both of you. I think what a great way to teach philosophy in an engaging way for your students.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
thank you. Yes, it is. Yes.
I've been talking with Christopher Innes. He's an adjunct professor using pop culture to teach philosophy at Boise State University. As I said, one of his classes, Philosophy of Seinfeld. I mean, how great is that? And Anne Snellgrove, one of his students. Thanks both for coming in today.
Thank you so much
for
having
us. It's been great to be here.
And as we mentioned, today it is our one-year anniversary of Idaho Matters, and we wanted to take a very quick look back at some of the fascinating things that we've covered over the last year. You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The city of Boise continues to reel today from a brutal attack at a Boise apartment complex Saturday night when a man targeted a 3-year-old birthday party. Joining me today to talk about this is Boise Chief of Police Bill Bones.
Walking through the aftermath of the scene and seeing the children's faces and the victims' faces at the hospital, those are things that are just indelibly carved on your heart.
His anger didn't really start to come out until after we had been together for about a year. And then at that point, it was in emotional ways, in that if I was upset and I cried, he'd scream at me to stop crying. And I would blame myself for his anger because I would think, well, my crying is the thing that's making him angry, as opposed to thinking that his anger was the problem.
I would like go into withdrawals and I would get sick, and it was, I knew that I had something going, but I don't think I really realized it till I had some friends overdose that like I was able to save with Narcan. But I think it was like in Denver when I really realized how, like, you know, I was homeless. It kind of started to like really dawn then, because I was so tired.
I did a lot of contact with students on sexting. And I was interviewing this young lady after we had got involved with a sexting issue. And I just said to her simply, I said, you don't have to do this. And she looked at me and she started crying. And she said, how do I say no? And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, you don't know what it's like. There's so much pressure to just do this. And I said, well, sweetheart, I said, it's about protecting your virtue, your honor. And she goes, what's that? And long story short, she said, if I come to your office, will you teach me about virtue? And I said, absolutely. And so I began to talk to the school counselors about developing a program that we could fill that void in the school population.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Look at that California license plate. It says Oscar Mayer.
It is beautiful.
Definitely. Is it 27 feet long?
Right. So it's 27 feet long, 11 feet high, but in hot dogs, that's actually 60 hot dogs long and 24 hot dogs high.
I was going to ask. Yeah. Can you give me that in hot dogs?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely, man. We measure in dogmentions, so.
Do you happen to have weenie whistles?
We do have weenie whistles. So I have one for you here, actually.
It's like the commercial.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer...
We also need to mention that Idaho Matters would not exist today without the many months of behind-the-scenes work, as well as the financial support of these founding members. A huge thank you to Suzanne Allen, Idaho National Laboratory, Beverly Robertson, St. Luke's, Gary and Kathy Falk, and Boise State University. And to each and every one of you who has found Idaho Matters, and you haven't just listened, but you have embraced this program, and you have made it a part of your listening day, I want to say a huge thank you to every single one of you. I am honored and humbled to be a part of this program, and I'm going to get a little teary-eyed. You know, it was a dream more than a year ago to do something like this on Idaho Matters. And to be able to be a part of this and to do the work that we do every day, I think it's powerful, and I am proud and honored to be a part of it, to be a small part of it. So thank you to each and every one of you. And I know I try not to cry on air, but it does happen sometimes. We are human. So thank you so very much for truly being a part of this. And also, I want to say that I think the work that we do for you and for the great state that we all call home, I am just so proud of the work that we have done. I also want to say a very quick thank you to my husband and to my two boys who sometimes get mentioned on this program and who have been great sports about me sharing parts of their lives with you and sometimes making little jokes about it, especially to my 10-year-old who is always like, Mom, can you stop talking? Your show is boring. So see, 10-year-olds, keep it real for you. And to all of the team on Idaho Matters, thank you so much. You do not see them because you only hear me during this show, but I will tell you there is a strong group of people behind my voice, and we could not put this show on without all of you. So thank you to my team. Thank you to all of you. And I didn't mean to cry. It just happens sometimes. This has been a huge, huge thing that we have done. So thank you. And as always, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You've been listening to Idaho Matters. And I'll get it together, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a really good rest of your Tuesday.